Hey, we need your support to keep the podcasts flowing. Go to explorationsearlylearning.com/support to learn how. One of the big things you can do is shop Amazon with the link we provide. You buy your cat food, you buy your kids' books, you buy whatever it is you buy on Amazon, you pay the regular price. We get a small percentage of it. Everybody wins. A lot of people are doing it. It really supports the shows, and we really appreciate it. Give it a try. Thanks.
Welcome to the Child Care Bar and Grill Podcast. Jeff Johnson here. Tasha Johnson and Gigi are still at the dog park playing with Barkley, Gigi's
four
good
days
dog
later.
Park friend.
They're listening to the episode.
And Lisa Murphy is in studio.
Hello.
Hello, Lisa Murphy. And so last show we kind of touched on this. We decided to roll right into this topic. The whole idea of changing minds and changing your mind. I think it's something we've talked on a lot. It's something that we really try to support people in doing. I'm not sure, I didn't go back and look at the list if we've done a whole episode on this, but I think it's something that we should talk about because it's something that comes up quite a bit. Where you want to jump in?
First, acknowledging that if you actually think that you'll never go through a changing of the mind, like break up with that. Like if you're still teaching the same way you've been teaching for the last 10, 15, 20 years, then either you've been in a vacuum or something's not right there. I think there's room for all of us to constantly be adding to our tool belt is the phrase I like to use. And I think it's also important to realize that acknowledging that it's maybe time to break up with a certain bit of thinking is very important. Like it's okay. It's not a reflection on you. Like it doesn't mean that you've been bad at what you've been doing. One of the things that I am very direct about in the workshops is that if somebody is honest to God, like claiming honest ignorance, like, man, I had no idea that that's something I shouldn't maybe be doing, I will cut you slack from now till Christmas, right? I will give you the time you need. Where I get really frustrated, and I'll own not very patient, is when somebody does know better and then just chooses not to because it might be a little uncomfortable or challenging.
Is that kind of a willful ignorance kind of thing?
Well, willful ignorance, I mean, I don't know if you could claim ignorance in the sense that, like, they kind of know that best practice isn't sitting with toddlers for 40 minutes, but they do it anyway because that's just what we do. I don't know if that's ignorance.
Yeah.
I think that's being willful, maybe. Stubborn. willful not, stubbornness.
Willful knowingness?
Willful knowingness? I'm not sure. I found for a while that a soup analogy was working, especially when I would be talking with teachers who have been doing it for a while.
I'm a big fan of soup.
Yeah,
talk to me about soup.
The soup, the idea that is, as teachers, as practitioners, as providers, our practice is like soup as a metaphor. So, you know, we got this in the soup, we got some carrots, maybe we got chicken, maybe we got noodles, we got all this stuff. But maybe at some point we learn, you can add kale to the soup and it makes the soup a little bit, you know, better for you. Oh, awesome. So we add that. And then, oh, you know what, but we've been putting way too much salt in the soup, so let's cut back on the salt, you know, or dietary, we got to cut back on how much oil we're using or something like that. So it's like your soup was never bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's just we've learned now how to make the soup even better.
Yeah.
And sometimes that means adding to our soup, and sometimes that means eliminating stuff from the soup. And for some reason, that analogy has worked. So mm-hmm. I'm offering it to anybody who might be listening.
I like it.
And?
What about canned soup?
Might have too much salt.
I think a lot of people...
too many calories.
I think a lot of people are so uncomfortable with change, they keep going to the cupboard and grabbing that same can of soup they've been going to for a long time.
Because it's familiar.
Because it's familiar and it's easy, and familiar and easy are things we default to because they're a lot easier than new and challenging, because those things generate a lot of fear and discomfort.
Stress,
in us.
Discomfort.
And because people are living hectic, busy lives, we do what we can, either knowingly or unknowingly, to kind of avoid those fearful, uncomfortable bits in our life because we just don't have the time or energy for them. And so is part of change being willing to put down the can opener and step away from the pantry and take out a cauldron? Is that what you cook soup in? What do you cook soup in, Lisa Murphy?
A pot.
A pot. Take out a pot. Depends on how much soup you're making. If you're one of those forest school people, you may be using the cauldron. But to actually put away the canned soup and try making your own soup, or start with the canned soup and maybe add a little bit of bok choy to it.
And you're reading my mind.
Is bok choy a thing?
Yeah, bok choy is a thing.
Okay.
Everything new is half familiar. And I'm Googling it to see who said that. And one of my professors had that on his office wall. And it was so 100% true. Everything new is half familiar.
So talk to me about that a little bit.
What's the idea, like what you just said.
Oh.
So I might still reach for the canned soup,
uh-huh,
but I'm going to add some bok choy to it.
Uh-huh.
Right? Because that's stepping stone.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Why you got that smirk on your face?
I was thinking about chili.
Oh. I'm making chili today.
Lisa's making chili. Tasha makes chili, and it, if we're going to be running around or anything, so a lot of times she'll make it in the crock pot, just dump the stuff in, and then it doesn't have to watch it simmer on the stove and stuff. And so she's got a lot of canned stuff that she's putting in there, you know, the canned tomatoes, that kind of stuff. But she does a couple of her own things, and mostly she puts love in there, which
of course.
I love guzzling up her love. And she's my sweetie pie, and I love her chili mostly because she does her own, she adds her own spin to the existing thing, and so maybe that's where we need to start, huh?
And there's that, it's the connection point. So everything new is half familiar, so that familiar part, there's my buy-in. Okay. And maybe the familiar is the person who said it, or the book that it came out of, or the conference I was at. So there's some comfort, but then there's also an encouragement just to reach and stretch out of your comfort zone.
And how do we, that tipping point?
I think the tipping point happens when you start to see that what you're trying to implement, the new, whatever the new thing, when you see that it's working or that it's not exploding up in your face, right? When there's success of some sort.
And I think there's a lot of people out there who see that, and instead of taking that next step of putting down the can opener and adding to their, or opening that can and adding to their own soup, they turn away from what they're observing and keep doing the things the way they've been doing it.
Well,
I mean, haven't you seen these people?
Yes, I'm trying to come up with an actual example, though, that might help in this conversation for the podcast.
I hear people. I hear it at live events, and I hear it online, and I hear it in emails people send me. I agree with da 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 da. We'll go back.
I smell a butt coming.
But I can't do it because my coworker, my administrator, the parents, the licensing, whatever it is. And so I think there are a lot of people out there who see that this other practice, this other way of doing things might be not only beneficial but easier, and still they don't take that step to change.
So my first intervention in that specific scenario would be, show me how you think, where did it come from that you think that these folks are going to be barriers or roadblocks? You know, like, let's show me that. Mm-hmm. Where's that written? And if it's, because a lot of my experience has been that a lot of it is perceived roadblocks.
Absolutely.
And not necessarily real roadblocks. So just at surface level, let's see where that is. Is it a real issue? a real concern or have you made it up in your head? And then based on the information gathered from that layer of inquiry, we'll determine then the next step. Because that particular example brings up for me a lot of frustration in that our profession continues to give our power up to folks who aren't in the industry. And that just makes my blood boil.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I appreciate that we're in a service-based industry and there's some, you know, customer service is still a part of what we're doing. But there's a big difference between engaging in positive customer service and completely throwing best practice out the window for people who don't know any better.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's the conversation I would go with, you know, what you just brought up.
And do you, when you have that conversation, I'm just assuming you've had that conversation with people, do people embrace that or do they look for another excuse? Because what I often see is that whole, I can't do that because is really a reaction to fear of change from our lizard brain. And I mean, if you want to dig into that, look at Seth Godin and who is it? Stephen Pressman? I'll look it up. They talk about this whole idea that our lizard brain wants to protect us from
anything
change
new
and risk and this kind of stuff. And so maybe when we're throwing out those kinds of excuses for not changing, one of the things we really need to ask ourselves is this really a thing or am I just scared?
And so I think about the conversations at the breaks and lunch and after hours at the workshops and stuff, and they'll say, oh, they'll come up, you know, and we've all had this conversation and it's not throwing anybody under the bus, but it's a valid example. Shaving cream continues to still be a thing. Oh, well, we can't use it, and oh, da da da. So my first layer of questioning is, who told you that? So like your first bit of homework, you know, you want me to list for you 14 substitutes for shaving cream. I want you to go back and do the one thing that you really need to do, which is let's see if this is a thing.
Yeah. Yeah, because the thing is, if you come up with those 14 substitutes, somebody's going to come up with a reason you can't use them.
Exactly. So let's like knock it down to the first thing that has to happen, which is let's find out where it came from that I think I'm not allowed to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And talk about research. Unfortunately, due to the nature of our job, there's not often opportunity to then follow up. And how awesome that would be is if every person who was given that kind of homework assignment, you know, if there was a way for us to circle back to those hundreds and hundreds of people and find out, did it actually say something in the employee handbook? Did it, you know, where was it actually written down that you're not allowed to bring the easel outside? You know, or is that something just that the culture of the school had kind of embraced and ran with, and now it's something that it's that group think when really it's not a rule?
Stephen Pressfield, not Stephen Pressman. How to Beat Your Lizard Brain is if you Google that, you'll come up with some good stuff there. And again, Seth Godin and his books like Lynchpin are great tools if you're finding that in place, because it's easier when we're feeling scared to find excuses and turn away from the thing that's looking us right in the eye that we know is a better choice than it is to take that step and do the scary thing, do the new thing, do the fresh thing. We deal this with Uncon quite a bit, don't we, Lisa? We've got the whole idea of putting yourself out of the box in this environment where you need to be the
boss,
the boss of your own experience. And we have people that
it's very challenging.
That it's very challenging. We have people that opt not to come because of that, but we have people who come and their first response is, this is way uncomfortable for me. We had this in Edmonton a couple months ago. One of our participants, she told me at the end of the first day of Uncon, she was like, I'm out of here. This is way too uncomfortable for me. And then reflecting that evening, she realized that this is on me, and first thing she did when she got up in the next morning is register for the next year.
And sidebar, she drove, like I saw her at a gig, and she went up, they gave her a prize or something because she had come the farthest. Uh-huh. And I'm like, I know her. Why do I know her? And she's like, unkind. And so then she drove to New York with some of her staff and others. So, you know, not only did she decide to buy in,
yeah.
but she is now exposing this to her staff.
Yeah. yeah.
Shout out.
Woo. Yeah. And so that thing about doing the scary thing is that way more often than not, in my own personal experience and the stories I hear from other people, is that you have that rush of adrenaline. That's that lizard brain. You have that rush of adrenaline saying, oh my God, what the hell are you doing? We're going to die. And then that moment of calm afterwards
where you realize nobody died
and this isn't so bad, and you can turn this into your new thing. So Lisa, what's your own experience with change and that fear and the doing the scary thing and that? I mean,
well, I was just going to say that we're not therapists, but this conversation can very slippery slope into talking about, I think, our own personal psychological
problems.
You know, how many people, you know, will stay in an abusive relationship because there's some familiarity in it, and the thought of it being, you know, starting over at the time can be more intimidating and more stress inducing than, you know, a potentially abusive situation, right? Mm-hmm. And that's where my brain is thinking about right now. But, you know, you reach a point where it's a tipping point. And there's a silly saying about, you know, there was a day that the rose decided to bloom because it was more stressful staying all tightened up in a bud, you know? Mm-hmm. And not to get all cliche-ish, but, you know, I mean, I've had the last five years have been nothing but change and, you know, and very stressful, and leaving a relationship after, you know, 20 some odd years into it, but realizing that, what was on the other side, I had no idea what was going to end up happening. And, you know, I don't want to say it, you know, it's better, you know, but I mean, it was needing to change. Yeah, right. It's better.
And it's better. Lisa, you're happier now than you've been in the whole time I've known you.
Thank you.
And I mean, it's nice to see. And that's the thing, when you do...
It's a leap of faith.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is.
Faith in yourself. And I think maybe one of the reasons people struggle with this is because they don't have a track record with faith in their self. Mm. And I think one of the ways we build that is to start doing it, and you really got to push yourself. I think there's a lot of stuff going on in the news today about it's going on in the news because people are reaching their tipping point where they're tired of not dealing with it. We woke up this morning and Matt Lauer was fired from his cushy TV gig because of apparently, I haven't read the reports yet, but apparently there was some stuff ready to come out about him that he was preemptively fired. So
Good Morning America?
One of those morning shows. I know he did the alarm. Anyway, there's all that kind of stuff coming out, Louis C.K. and Harvey Weinstein and all these people. And it's because the people that had to deal with all of the bullshit that
got tired of it.
They got tired of it and finally were able to decide something's got to change. And kudos to those people for being brave enough to do that. And I just love watching the dominoes fall because this is a whole other episode that I'd love to do. I don't know if Lisa does, but it's a whole power dynamic, because all of this, it's much more about power in a lot of situations than it is about sex. But that stuff goes on all the time. And I just imagine that these people that are speaking out about this kind of stuff are trying to create some sort of change, and from my own very limited experience with this kind of thing, is there's a feeling of release after letting go of this thing that's been building up in them. And I think, to bring it back to early learning, when you finally do the scary thing and start your process of change, there is that feeling of decompression when you start down that path. All the fear and all the anxiety and all the can't kind of leaves you like a balloon being released, and you just kind of go.
And then sometimes there's that wondering of, Why was I so stubborn? Like, why didn't I do this sooner?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we can get stuck in the whole beating ourselves up about it and kind of stuff. Yeah. The whole thing there is to just keep moving forward. I think we'll circle back to this. One of the other things you can do to make this a little bit easier to make your change or supporting change in others is to have a support system.
Definitely.
And I mean, that's what we try to be.
And to realize that your support system, unfortunately, and I'll say that, might not be the people you currently work with.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Especially if you start pushing back and wanting to do some change in the program, and you might find that nobody's interested in having that happen except your own self.
Yeah, because, I mean, my ultimate goal over the next few years is for all the podcasts and the stuff going on at the Playvolution HQ site is to start building that community of practice where there are people that are a few steps further down the road than others who can kind of look back and say, hey, come here, I'll give you a hand up this hill. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And having that is a valuable thing. And look at it as if you decide you're going to eat better and take care of yourself a little bit better, you maybe want to cut down the carbs a little bit and lose a couple pounds, and you're living in a house of people who don't want to do that. You don't have that support system. You got to look outside for that support because the environment you're in isn't giving you what you need, and so hopefully through the podcast and some of the other stuff Lisa and I and others are doing online, if you don't have the support system that's offering the support you need,
maybe there's
places you can reach out for it.
Instead of saying it's not going to work. Right, even just reaching out and looking for a new support group network, that's going to be maybe stretching out of your comfort zone, right? Because you're like, it would be a lot easier. And so then we throw the baby out with the bathwater, right? You're like, oh, it just wasn't working. Where it might have worked if you had taken that one little leap and found somebody who might not necessarily be in that house, so to speak.
Yeah, well,
so much metaphor.
Listen to this podcast episode about change is going to be a step for somebody, and if it is, and if you decide 2 weeks from now you're going to try something a little bit different, let us know. We want to pat you on the back because that feels good, and it also moistens up those neurons. It builds your brain squirts out all that juicy goodness of saying, hey, I did something and it worked, and I got some support that helps make it easier to do it the next time. Those pathways start forming that help make change a habit instead of something you're scared of.
This is, and I didn't even really think about this until right now. The fact that I say in the workshops that I don't want you doing anything new or different for 10 days is intentional, right? Because I want you to start priming the pump and start noticing and start looking, like that active observation, so that first leap is going to be as successful as possible, which is very different than going back on Monday and like doing everything, and then by Wednesday you're like, this is stupid and out of control, forget it all, and then you don't do anything.
Yeah, and when you say don't do anything, you don't mean don't think about it,
process
it. You mean don't do the
stuff. Don't go back, rearrange the room, don't rip the schedule down, don't drag the easel outside. We joke about free-range napping, That's going to be way too much. It's overwhelming for absolutely everybody, yourself and all of the people who weren't there.
Yeah.
But in 10 days, after paying attention and noticing patterns and having conversations, you are going to be ready to take some kind of an initial step.
Yeah. You got
it. But now you've set it up, right? You've stacked the deck in your favor for that first leap to be as positive as possible.
Yeah. You got to set the stage for that first step. Hey, listeners, one thing we don't want you to change is your love or maybe just tolerance of this podcast. What I'm trying to say is don't change the channel on your iPad player. Tune in a couple days for another episode. We really appreciate it. Hey, a little update on the show. As you're listening to this, we are about to enter year 6 of this podcast.
Woo!
which is a hell of a lot longer than I thought it was going to last. I mean, and the thing is, the numbers keep getting better. We're at a point where we're getting downloaded half a thousand times or more a day, and the show has passed 400,000 total downloads, and people are going back and listening to the past episodes, and we really dig that. And if you're one of those people that's going back and listening to the old stuff, we'd really love if you'd like to help us catalog and categorize and tag some of those past episodes. And if you're one of those listeners and want to help out with that, shoot me an email at jeffajohnson@cableone.net or find me on the Facebook or wherever, because we could really use some help with those kind of things. And if you have thoughts or concerns or questions or answers or stories, we'd love to hear those too. We love hearing from listeners. So get a hold of us. Check out all things Lisa Murphy at ooeygooey.com, and you know where to find me and the Explorations Early Learning stuff. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye.
My mouse is never at the right place. This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.
Oh.
Hey, Jeff here. If you like the podcast, you might dig this. Dan Hodgins is going to join Lisa Murphy and I for 3 gigs in 2018. We're going to be in Portland, Oregon, Indianapolis, Indiana, and Madison, Wisconsin. We're calling it the Talking Play Tour because that's what we're going to be doing, talk and play. You can learn more at playvolutionhq.com/events. Hope to see you there.